Blog Talk Radio.
Last week in our installment on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, We spoke about being stuck in the quicksand of life and how to get out. Ooh, if you missed it, it was rich. You definitely want to chip back and take a listen and lean in and get the nuggets and gems that were shared on last week. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I will share with our powerhouse in-studio guests for about 40 minutes into today's programming on our subject that we have in our money series that I'm so excited about. Then we will open our program up for your audience participation, at which time we encourage you and we welcome your questions and comments around today's subject. This always lends to a more interactive environment that we absolutely love. And so we encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime right on in at the appropriate time. If you don't already have your pens, notepads, laptops, desktops, iPads, your tablets, your smartphone with your notes, or whatever you need to take and capture the richness of what is being shared today, we encourage you to grab it. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, we're in our money series, and every other month through the year of 2021, we have our Money X Monday of every other month. And so today we're in our money series and our Money Matters talk. We're looking at and taking another look around your relationship with money and specifically dating your money. Are you dating your money? Well, we're going to jump in just a moment. Before we jump in, though, we ask that you take a quick moment to invite someone to share in today's broadcast with you. Invite someone through social media. Allow your social media juices to begin to flow right on someone's Facebook wall. Send a quick tweet, a text, a DM. Go old school. Send an email, a quick message via text, message in the bottle, a carrier pigeon, whatever you need to do. Bottom line, I think you get it. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast because it's going to be rich. We extend our heartfelt, gracious thanks in advance for your support with expanding our outreach. Well, without further ado, on today's installment of Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our money coach, the real money coach, Tony Jackson and company, are joining us in the virtual boardroom as we dig into Money Matters. Without further ado, I'm going to bring in Tony, and he will bring in his special in-studio partner guest, Tony, the real money coach. Are you there? Where's my real money? Tony, the real money coach. Are you there? Are you on mute, family? You need to come off of mute if you are on mute. Tony, the real
money coach. Okay, I think the system had me muted. Can you hear me now?
It looks like, yes, we can hear you now. It looks like you dropped off and had to dial back in.
Yes.
So that's what happened. So it muted you. Okay, no worries. Guess what? We're excited. We got you now.
All right.
Yes.
How are you, Coach Adam?
Oh, my gosh. I am fabulous, Tony. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. It's so nice to be back with you again for Money Matters, Dating Your Money. All that fun stuff.
Yes, you know, Tony, it is exciting to have you in the virtual boardroom with us. And, you know, I don't want to assume that everyone knows who the real money coach, Tony Jackson, is. And you know your Coach Adam. She likes for her in-studio guests, beyond her the bio that may or may not have been read, for them to share. If you were to say who the real money coach, Tony Jackson, is, who would you say that he is?
I would say that the Real Money Coach, Tony Jackson, is a dedicated financial professional that has a deep passion and commitment to financial education and literacy. I would say that he is a person in finances, in terms of retirement, in terms of life insurance, in terms of those type of plannings. So I would say that he's a dedicated professional, financial services professional. That's what I would say that he is professionally. And personally, I would say that he is a husband, a father, a grandfather, and just, you know, loves his family, immediate and extended. And then spiritually, I would say that he's a called man of God.
Well, I love who you have stated the Real Money Coach, Tony Jackson, is. You know, Tony, before we bring in your special guest, as we dig in to this subject that I am truly loving, this, you know, dating your money. You know, I'm trying to make it sound all romantic, you know, dating your money. In our last installment, though, you gave us some wonderful nuggets and gems, you know, and I wanted to kind of reconnect us with that before we dig into where we're going today. You know, you gave us four key elements that were so powerful around our relationship with money and really identifying that. We spoke about our avoidance of money, our worship of money, our status, money status, and our vigilance with money and or being a hoarder. You know, one of the quotes that you stated that I captured that and I said, ooh, that is such a rich nugget. You spoke about poor people stay poor by acting rich. Rich people stay rich by acting poor. Now, I want to be the rich person, so I'm going to have to continue to grow in acting poor. So, as we dig into today's subject on dating your money, will you please share with our global listening audience who is your special guest that's going to share in this conversation of dating your money?
Well, I tell you, I am so excited. I was able to get her to come on with us tonight. And, you know, I just thought that this special, special person could bring in a perspective that I think that would resonate with many of your global listeners. And so tonight, I am very, very, very proud and excited that my wife of 28 years is on with us tonight, and we are going to have a lot of fun talking about dating your money. And so I've been dating my money with this beautiful woman for 28 years, and we are excited about sharing some things that we've learned over those years. So to you and to the audience, I present to you Miss Alisa Jackson.
Good evening, Coach Adam.
Well, good evening.
I am super excited to be with you tonight and your listeners, and it's just good. We're going to have a good time.
Well, you know, I am super excited as well. Just the topic is exciting. And, you know, in our last installment, when Tony shared around your relationship with money, we kind of closed it out with dating your money. And many of our listeners said, oh, I want more of that. I want more of that. And I love that you're joining your honey in the virtual boardroom today so we can kind of dive in on this topic. And, you know, Tony, I'm sitting here, I'm leaning in, I have pen and notepad handy because I want to grow in that rich mindset. So I got to learn how to act like I'm poor. So help me out. You and Alisa, come on, help me out.
Well, listen, I you talk to people sometime, and I was thinking of one gentleman in particular who's a black, really billionaire. And, you know, he said that, you know, growing up, they didn't have to act like they were poor. They were actually poor. And so some of us, you know, we've grown up and you know, sometimes it was a struggle. And we learn how to get through those things. And I think sometimes struggle helps you appreciate when you get to the point where you're not struggling. And, you know, I know sometimes it can work in the opposite way where, you know, as soon as we get some money that, you know, we want to go out and we want to buy these things. But, you know, there's oftentimes the opposite is true, that we just, you know, when we finally get to the point where we're stable financially, we don't want to go back to where we were. And so it's not hard for us to, you know, be conservative in our spending and watching the things that we spend. You know, we don't spend things lavishly.
And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm putting a little drama on it. The reason why I say that, because I am growing daily, is that I grew up an only child. I'm an only child. And so literally the only child, Tony and Alisa, she was spoiled rotten to the core. To thine own self be true, I can put it out there. She got whatever she wanted. And I have great taste. That's why I said I have to act like I'm poor, because I have great taste. I'm growing in greater wisdom and making better choices, but I have great taste, and I love nice things. So I'm excited about this journey that we're on and excited to get more insight on this subject. But I wanted you to understand why Coach Adams said she got to grow in acting poor, because she was spoiled, has great taste, and so she loves nice things. And so it is an acting like I'm poor. So what insight?
Well, you know, I'll let Lisa speak to this too, but I think we like nice things too. And what we have to really come to the grips with is, like, you can like nice things and have nice things without necessarily being lavish with it. And so,
absolutely,
looking for the bargain,
that's where I am.
My wife can find a deal on some stuff. Listen, she can find it. And find it at a great price, and it's nice. I mean, you think that we spent a lot of money on some things because it looks rich, but it was very economical.
Yes, I can be frugal, and I can find a deal. But I'm with you, Coach Adams. I haven't always been there, and I grew up. I wasn't an only child, but there was only two of us. And our parents had the two of us, and my father, we got whatever we wanted. And so I think from that vantage point, you know, just having whatever I wanted was a mindset that I had to change. And it wasn't overnight, but it many of us, you know, many of us have those same types of struggles. We grow to that place.
Yes, absolutely. And I must say, because I know I'm among fellow believers, and I must say that for me, when I became a believer and I read, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Yes.
The Purpose-Driven
absolutely.
Life by Rick Warren. He comes out of the gates and says, it's not about you. That right there shook my tiara, and that started the growth of the only child to get out of that mindset and to recognize. So, you know, I love that she's growing. She's evolving. She's still in process, though, but
yeah,
she is
absolutely.
Evolving. Yeah, and I know that you all have some rich nuggets that I'm on the edge of my seat to start digging into and talking about. So where would you like to start?
Well, you know, I think when I was looking at, you know, our 10, what I would say 10 tips for dating your money as a couple, I think mm-hmm. these also apply to us if you're single. But as I was looking at the list, I think the first part of the list really is about creating a culture or creating an environment that will allow for success in terms of dating your money. So it's kind of, I guess if I was saying in dating terms, it would be setting the atmosphere. It would be the courting. It would be, you know, the nice restaurant, the soft music. It would be the flowers. It would be the courting. It would be setting the atmosphere. And then probably the second part of the list is really where we get down to the work of the relationship. And so, you know, we have, you know, a list of things that we share with your listeners tonight, and about, you know, 10 great tips for dating your money. And the first thing that we have on there,
Tony, I have to tease you and Alisa, he left the single ladies out. He said, this is for the couple. What about the single ladies?
Right. Well, you know what? We don't want to leave the single ladies out or the single men,
out of this
because this, I tell you what, if you are single and you are dating your money like this, when you do come together with somebody, I mean, that is going to be an amazing union because you have already got those things taken care of. And I think it just makes it a lot simpler.
Tony, absolutely. Alisa saved you. She saved you. I didn't want people to start disconnecting and saying, oh, well, it's only for the couples and I'm single. So, woo, Alisa brought that back home. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he said he'd give you a helpmate, right? There it is. That's what it's all about. Absolutely.
This is for everybody. We absolutely. All need to be healthy in this way. And so, absolutely.
So let's talk about a couple things on the list. The first one was just to find a private place to have this meeting or this talk. And Lisa was talking earlier about, you know, we always leave home. So,
yes, I like to leave home because we don't go someplace expensive, but it's nice to just get out. Because sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with money, it can be, you know, a little tense, a little stressful. So sometimes if you get out, you know, and to a nice neutral location and, you know, maybe have a cup of coffee and sit down with your numbers and go at it. For us, it's nice as a couple because it's neutral, because it can be tense a little bit sometimes. And so it's nice in that way to have a neutral location as well.
Well, and I would say, too, just, you know, depending on the scenery, it could be someplace, you know, that has a nice serene environment where it's, you know, I'm thinking outside or something where, you know, it's just a nice atmosphere. And so because, like you said, it can be tense, even if it's by yourself and you're looking at your numbers. I mean, it could be, so putting yourself in a place where tranquility, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for, having
absolutely.
A place of tranquility where you can go and just kind of get away from the TV, get away from the electronics, and just have some tranquility and do what you need to do there.
I love that. And I have to say, Tony and Alisa, I never thought about, quote unquote, going out to a private place to meet with my money, to have this date with my money. And, of course, you know, I'm in Southern California. Don't hate me. The Southern California coast never gets old for me, ever. So that's, like, a part of what I do, taking a drive, parking. You know, I have a special place. I can't say it on the airwaves because I don't want people flocking there. And so we're going to keep that quiet. That's going to be my private place. But I have my places that I like to go. So I love this concept of find a private place to meet and to have this special date with your money, date night, date morning, date afternoon. You see, I'm trying to say it in my romantic voice.
I love that. I can see that. I can see you at your private place on the coast with your stuff spread out on the table and the water and the beautiful atmosphere, and you just go to work. And, you know, I think that sounds lovely.
It sure does. It sure does. So let's talk about number two on the list. So number two on the list was to be open and honest and as a couple with each other and as an individual with yourself. Just being honest and open about, you know, where you are, your particular spending habits. So just being open and honest with yourself, I think, is good.
Absolutely. That is and that, I think that's the place too where a lot of us we're dealing with, you know, those habits that we've been that baggage we've been carrying. And so this is the time when we're working on that. We're working on those habits and changing some things and creating new habits.
You know what I love about this one, number two, be open and honest with yourself and your relationship with where you are, with your spouse, if you are a couple. But this goes to what you touched on last time you were here, and that avoidance. If you're not being open and honest, in essence, you're avoiding. You're avoiding where you really are. You're not willing to locate yourself. So I really love that. You get into that, find that private place to meet and have the date with your money, and then you are open at that time, in that moment. Like you said, Alisa, you said spread the matters out on the table, overlooking the ocean, you know, whatever that looks like, and really dig in. So I love that.
And then number three on the list is recognizing your personality and your personality type. And if we're talking to people, how your personalities may differ. Elise and I have very different personalities, especially when it comes to money. But I know I have to be honest about my personality and what things trigger me maybe to spend when I shouldn't, and what type of things I like to spend money on that may be different than the things she likes to spend money on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that can create a little bit of tension, too, because, you know, we're all different. And but, you know, that's why. But you already set the atmosphere. You're in that place and you're in that nice atmosphere. And so it helps you work through those differences. And, you know, it can be uncomfortable at times. And so and I think whether you're a couple or whether you're an individual, you know, just dealing with money issues, you know, I think those are the things that many of us, we like to avoid. And so just realizing who you are and what those habits are, and maybe you may be in a place where you're not, you know, necessarily happy with, you know, and you want to turn things around. And so this is a great time to just to look inward too, at yourself.
I think that's good.
Go ahead, Tony. Yeah. You know,
no,
I was going,
good.
Yeah, that is so good, and you're really speaking my language with this one, because recognize your personality differences. I don't know if either of you know, but I am a certified DIS analyst, and it is important to understand, am I a dominant personality? Am I a compliant? Am I influencer? Am I steady? How do I normally navigate through? And like you said so well, Alisa, that you were speaking, you're a couple, you've learned that this works extremely well for you. But as an individual, when you are in that couple partnership, you're in a better position because you've dealt with these things, and it's equally important to recognize your personality style to know, okay, how do I approach matters? So when you do come into that partnership, now I need to know what their style is so that we can come together
Absolutely.
And complement one another instead of clashing around this matter of money. Good stuff. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, like, you know, sometimes people are compulsive buyers. And, like, you know, for me, when I used to have a bad day, I mean, the thing that would make me feel good is just to go buy something, right? And it's just, you know, and I kind of justify it by not buying something for myself. I buy something for the kids, or I buy something, you know, like that, and it still kind of made me feel like, you know. But, you know, so we have to kind of understand that about ourselves too. And also, I think, you know, for me and for a lot of guys, it could be cars, right? And so, you know, you go through that where you want this car, you want the latest car and those type of things. And it's really about your personality and what you want it to say and the persona that you're trying to put out there, not necessarily for other people sometimes, but even just for yourself, which kind of leads a little bit into number four, which is determining what you want your lifestyle to be.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
Tell us more around that.
That's, I think, you know, just part of that, you know, that kind of the big picture of you know, where you want to be and how you want to live and you know, writing those things down so that when you are having this date with your money, you're constantly looking at that goal, at those goals, so that you stay, you know, you stay on task. You know, it's a reminder of the road you're on and where you're headed. And, yeah.
Well, and I think lifestyle is important because you may have a lifestyle that you want to live, a certain kind of lifestyle or standard things. You said, Coach Adams, a few minutes ago, you like nice things. I mean, and there's a lot of people that we like nice things. We like to feel good about where we live. We like to feel good about, you know, our clothes and those types of things. And so what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? Do you want to go on vacation? And this is regardless of if you're single or whether you're engaged or whether you're married. You know, do you like to vacation? Or do you what way do you like to vacation? You know, some people's idea of camping is the Hilton. Other people want to go to a campground, like, you know, and so you got to understand and kind of have an idea of what you want your lifestyle to be like. And I think that's important, too.
You know, I'm back here. We, of course, said I love nice things, but you know, I'm back here chuckling and laughing because I said, yeah, my camping would be a 5-star experience, not just on the sleeping bag on the side.
Absolutely. And so, you know, for us, when we vacation, it's like, oh, for, you know, especially, you know, if I'm doing it for business or something, it's like, okay, so Lisa wants to know, do they have a spa? What is the spa like, you know, versus staying at the Fairfield? And there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, it's just, and then some of it depends, too, like for us, we would go and stay at little nicer places if it's just the two of us. But when the kids were coming, then we'd stay at some place a little different. And so those are some of the things, too, in terms of lifestyle.
I
think,
too,
you know.
I heard you jumping in. Go right ahead. Yes.
as far as, like, you know, liking nice things, I think, you know, I think it's really important to have balance in that. And I think that when you are having this date with your money, I think it enables you to be able to plan those nice things that you want. I don't think it's always depriving yourself, because I think you need some, I think the balance is important, right? I mean, we want to enjoy life. And but I think with the plan, it enables you to be able to have those things that you want. And that's what this lifestyle piece is. It's not necessarily depriving us, but maybe we want the trip, and instead of just, you know, spending the money for the trip, maybe we save for the trip for a year. So it's not necessarily depriving ourselves, but maybe the steps that we take to get the things that we want might be differently. Or maybe if I want some furniture, maybe I'll be saving up for it, and then I'm going to get it. When's the best time to get furniture? They say on the holidays or something like that. So with the dating your money, it gives you a chance to plan those things out and not necessarily always deprive yourself.
So it's not necessarily being impulsive. It's like being, you plan a date, right? You plan a date. And I'm an impulsive type of person, more so than Lisa likes to plan things. And I'm more like, well, let's go.
I'm very unimpulsive.
And so I think having a date with your money just allows you to plan what you're going to do, plan that lifestyle. And so you're not reacting, but you're being more proactive.
I love it. And I must say, you are giving some rich nuggets on dating your money. Obviously, we've talked about, number one, find a private place to meet with your money, to have that romantic rendezvous. Be open and honest with where you are, with your partner, with yourself. Don't be the ostrich, as I love to say, with the head in the sand. You know, seeing two ostriches with the head in the sand is not good. Seeing one with the head in the sand is not good. Recognize your personality differences. And I love, Tony, that you brought out, you know, I may go out and feel like I need to shop if I've had a challenging day. Someone else, and it may be, let me go look at a new car. I'm going to drive off the lot. But if you're married, you got to consult. If you're not, you still need to consult with your money, because, again, we're talking about our relationship with money. And your money may be saying, you're trying to drive off the lot with what? It may not be in agreement with that. So understanding your relationship, your personality differences, you know, and being clear on that. And, you know, when we were speaking about this, Tony, a part of what you said is that's a part of understanding how you're wired, how you flow, because certain personalities, they're going to be impulsive. They're going to go out. They got to, you know, get the, that's their way of handling it. Others are more systematic. They're not as impulsive. They're going to plan it out. They're going to walk in greater discipline. So that's all a part of our personality makeup, and I love that. Where we left off is discuss your desired lifestyle, and I love that. You know, start putting your vision board together. As you know, I'm a coach, and the coach is coming out. You know, put the vision board together. Start to look at what do we want the lifestyle to be, individually or collectively. Get clear on what is that vision, so that you are, as Alisa said so well, that you're planning for it, not depriving yourself, but planning for it. You know, I was so disappointed, speaking of planning, I had planned for a trip last year in celebration of my birthday. I planned for it for probably about 6 months, had everything, you know, paid for, no credit card usage on that, you know, just able to take care of it in the fullness of it, and COVID happened. Disappointing, because I had planned for that vacation. But, you know, planning for your lifestyle, and I love that. I said that so you guys would know I'm not completely impulsive, okay?
What's number five? One of the things, one of the things that even when we teach our classes, I tell people I'm not, in people that I coach, I'm not going to come in and tell you stop going to Starbucks if you enjoy Starbucks cup of coffee. That's not what this is about. You know, it's not about depriving yourself, but it's understanding when to reward yourself and how you want to do it. And if you do those things, where are you going to cut? I mean, for me, there's certain things that I can cut. I don't have to have it. And then there's certain things, Lisa, that I may enjoy having that she's like, well, that don't make a difference to me. And so I think those are all, you know, very important things. And, you know, and I think, Coach Adams, the last thing kind of in the atmosphere in this is account management. I think account management is so important. And knowing where you are as an individual before you even become a couple or before you, that is, you know, and I guess the thing that comes to mind is I know a lot of people will ask me, they'll say, well, should you have joint accounts or should you have separate accounts? And, you know, and I think that that really just depends. I don't know that there's a right or wrong way to do it, but sometimes, you know, how we were brought up or maybe those type of things will make it difficult to merge. And then sometimes you need a hybrid, right? So maybe there's some things that, you know, you have separate account, but you have some things that are joint. But I think it's the same thing if you're an individual. I really believe that a person should have multiple accounts, you know, and using those multiple accounts for multiple purposes.
I love that. That is great richness. And a very dear friend of mine, they're often saying, never have your money in one place. Always have it in different accounts. Do you know what I mean? And so what I hear you saying is the same, and you may be saying in addition to that, that each account may be focused on a different area of your life. I'm not sure. I don't want to misinterpret what you have shared, but I'm just simply being amen corner to say, yes, I definitely see that and I get it. Lisa, anything you wanted to add around the account management piece?
You know, that for us, what we did as far as accounts is it helped us as far as managing bills. We separated accounts and also with having businesses as well. But for us having, we always had like in the beginning, we would have just one account. And that was crazy because money was coming in, money was going out, and there was a lot going on. And we found that having separate accounts for different things, like separate accounts for car payments, separate accounts for utilities, and we could divvy up money into those accounts, and we knew what was coming out of those accounts. That kind of simplified things for us a lot.
We have one account that are things that occur on a weekly basis. You know, maybe groceries, gas, those type of things. And then we have an account. This is an account that we use for those monthly things, you know, things that you pay once a month. And then we have another account for things that are
annual.
So we have those three different buckets of money. And as money comes in, we put them in whatever bucket is necessary. Then we have another for medical bills, and then, of course, our savings. We have two businesses, so we have different accounts for those two businesses as well. And I think, you know, you were watching something on YouTube one time, and someone was talking about all these different accounts they had, and it kind of went back to when we were doing, when we had gone through Crown, and we were using the envelope system. And so it's like an electronic version of the envelope system where you put money in different slots in an envelope for according to what they're going to be. And that's how we started. That's what we were paying with cash. And you would paperclip money together.
Yes.
Like this money is paperclip together because this was grocery money.
Right.
And you paperclip it together and put groceries on it. And so whenever we went to the grocery store, we took it out of that particular envelope. And that's kind of how it started. And now we evolved to it being, you know, electronic division of by using different accounts. But I think that principle works whether you are single or whether you're married, or that concept I think is important. And it really helped us to kind of manage things a little better.
It helped a lot. And you can customize it for yourself, whatever works for you. Like we did the weekly, monthly, annual, separating it that way. And then we have our medical as well. But you can customize that any way that works for you. Like if you want, you know, however you need to separate things. But it just really helps a lot to be able to monitor what is happening with your money.
And I think that's originally how our money date started, is because we were using this system, this envelope system, and so we would get the money, we'd go, and we would divide the money according to the different line items, and that's how we originally started having our money date, is we would go, oh, we'd get the money, and we'd do that when we were, you know, using cash. That's how it started and then evolved to, you know, Lisa's does a very good job of pulling out the calendar, because, and that's where personalities are different, right? Because she likes to see it all in one spot. She likes to see a calendar and have it all listed. I'm more of a spreadsheet guy.
Yeah,
right?
A spreadsheet. I like a monthly calendar, and I like to see everything on the monthly calendar. But he has this beautiful spreadsheet. It's beautiful.
I love it. And so you're working, like, I hear the hybrid happening. You kind of blend between the two. I love it. Yes. You know, you are sharing, and I thank you, Alisa, for opening the very transparent, you know, conversation around the account management and how you started and how both of you really brought that home for us and helping us to understand, you know, this is what we do. We're being open and sharing with you what we do, how we've grown to this place, but customizing. And what I want our global listening audience to really take away is all about hearing the principle and adapting it in a way in which is going to work best for you. Ooh, I'm loving the nuggets.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing how quickly time flies, and I want you to have time to get into the others as well.
We're gonna have to put 6 through 10 on the back burner and do that. And so now you got to come back with me, and you know, not next month, but the next month, so that we can unpack the other things that we have on the list that we think are important. But I mean, this is fun.
It is, but this is what we'll do. We'll give our global listening audience an opportunity, if there are any questions or comments around what we have shared so far. And, of course, where have we been so far on our date with money? Number one, find a private place to meet. Number two, be open and honest with each other. Individually, collectively, locate, bottom line, locate where you are. Recognize your personality differences. How do you handle money is what we're speaking about there. Your personality around that. Are you impulsive? Are you a saver? Are you frugal? Whatever that looks like. Discuss your desired lifestyle. Begin with the end in mind is what I'm hearing here. Where do you want to grow? And so being clear on that, having a clear vision, a clear picture, outlining what that looks like. So now you know what the gap is, and you can begin to strategize and close that gap. Account management is where we left off. And obviously, as we stated, you customize that based on what's going to work well for you, and our in-studio experts have given some recommendations. And so this is the time in our program when we invite you, our global listening audience, to share in the discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are sitting in front of your electronic device, you do need to dial in. The dial-in number is 516-453-9374. 516-453-9374. Again, press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Meanwhile, we'll continue our dialogue, And again, I'm loving the richness. So give us some additional insight around dating our money.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is I think it's very easy to it's just like dating. I mean, sometimes it's easy to take your money for granted, right? And sometimes that happens even in our relationships, whether it's with a spouse or sometimes maybe even a parent or something, is that we begin to take it for granted. And our money's saying, you don't take me out like you used to. You don't do some of those things that we used to do. And I think that can happen very easily. And I think you have to be kind of intentional about it. What do you think?
Well, definitely. We have to take that time and grow with our money and with our goals. And yeah, definitely.
And then it evolves.
It evolves. But any relationship that you have, you have to put work in. And I always tell my kids, tell our kids that, you know, you have to put work in. And so it's no different with this, is you have to put the work in. And you're going to grow, you're going to learn about yourself, and you're going to start to hold yourself accountable. And if you are, you know, if you are a couple, you will hold each other accountable. And, there's times when it's a little bit uncomfortable, but it is the end result is that growth. And being financially stable, and that is the goal. And doing this regularly, it just it's amazing how you will find money. You'll have money, money that you didn't realize that you had. I think that you won't waste money like you used to. But I do feel like that you'll still be able to do the things that you enjoy, that you really enjoy. But what will happen is you'll be cutting out the waste, and you'll discover that you waste a lot. We discover we waste a lot, you know. And one of the things that's been painful for us is we like to eat out. And man, when you start to look at how much you spend eating out, you're like,
guilty.
Oh my goodness, coach.
But at the same time, what's important is like our date night is important, and so that's something that we're willing to do every week is to do that because that's important for us in our relationship. And I was thinking of it. It's gotta even like you know. With the Lord, it's like if you don't spend time with anyone or what's important in your life, it soon begins, the relationship begins to deteriorate.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that you were really describing there, Lisa, was really the benefits of dating your money. The benefits of dating your money is that you become not just more efficient but more effective with your management of the money. And, you know, as I know you, Coach Adams, you are Stephen Covey fan and certified coach. It's like there's a difference between being efficient and being effective. And, you know, and so I think when you date your money and you're very intentional about it, you become both efficient and effective. Mm-hmm. And it starts to – it's like manna from heaven. Right, it's like wow, we didn't know that we had this money, but it's the fact that we just weren't tracking what we're doing, and that's another thing is get a good tracking system, whether you're using something like Mint or some of the other you know programs that are available, is I think have a good tracking system, and you know we're both accountants by nature, so you know we like pen and paper. I mean, Lisa likes the pen and paper. I like the spreadsheet. But it's just a matter of having some kind of tracking system so that you know where your money's going.
I love that. I love that you both really hit the nail on the head about we have to be intentional, that it's about not only being efficient but being effective and utilizing the tools that are available that will support you with that. And, of course, you all are one of those tools, and I want to make sure you have an opportunity to share your contact information. And as you're doing this, and whoever wants to share on this point, I'm curious to know, what is your recommendation on how frequently should one have a date with their money?
What do you think? How frequently? I think the more frequent, the better, right?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Weekly. Definitely weekly.
Yeah. And I think some of it may depend on how often you have resources that come into you. I mean, like, because of what I do, it could be weekly. So I think, and that's the other thing. I think what we learned over these years is because of me being self-employed, there's not always that consistent. It's not like a paycheck where we know every week this is what I'm making. And I think that's the other thing that really kind of catapulted us into doing the date night, is because we just needed to sit down every week and say, okay, what's coming in next week? What commission, what things are coming in next week, and versus what things are due and those type of things. So I think for us, weekly is important. For other people, it may be biweekly. For some people, it may be monthly. Just really depends on how your resources come in, and, you know, that could make a difference. And, you know, I think it could make a difference whether you're talking about a couple versus a single person. That could be different, you know, in terms of how frequently you do it. But I think the primary factor is how the money flows in and out determines how frequently you should do it.
I love that.
I think that's a good one.
That's great wisdom. Yeah, that is great wisdom. We're approaching the close of our time of sharing today. I want to make sure that our global listening audience knows how to contact the Real Money Coaches and what services you have available. So if you can take about a minute to share that, and then we'll bring things to a complete close today, because it is amazing how quickly time flies. And thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for, you know, having us. We look forward to doing this every other month on the third Monday of the month. But, yeah, so we can be contacted through therealmoneycoach.com. You go to the website, you'll see there's a lot of different things that we're doing in terms of financial literacy classes. We're going to have a big kickoff event coming up here pretty soon. Actually, April 24th, so that'll be posted on our website. We have some great names in the industry that will be participating in that event. And so, you know, but that all that information can be found at therealmoneycoach.com. I can be contacted at Tony@therealmoneycoach.com. And what we do is we do some individual coaching. We have an online portal that has an array of information, you know, from everything from financial psychology all the way through personal investing and retirement. I do meet with people individually, both sometimes on an ongoing basis, sometimes just as a way to just go over where you are now. And I guess the main thing there is that the diagnosis has to come before the cure. And so that's what we like to do. We like to get that diagnosis, look at where you are in terms of your life insurance needs, your retirement needs, or what is a debt repayment plan for you? What does that look like? So those are things that we love to put together for people. There's no charge for that initial consultation at all. So you just simply email me at Tony@therealmoneycoach, and we can set something up and see where the Lord takes it from there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tony and Alisa Jackson. So appreciate you and the Real Money Coach. The Real Money Coach will be back in studio with us on May 17th. May 17th, mark your calendar in advance next week on our show. I'm so excited about next week's in-studio guest, a newly released author. We're going to be talking about the process of processing the pain, the process of processing the pain. You don't want to miss next week. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with your very own Coach Adams, Master Motivator, I am here for you with lots of different resources and services. The main thing that I want to share with you in brief as we close out today is I want you to be aware of my Winner's Circle. This is a great opportunity for you if you want additional information regarding my Winner's Circle, the Personal and Professional Lifestyle Growth Plan. Give our team a call at 310-289-2101, 310-289-2101, or email admin@coachadams.com, admin@coachadams.com. Group coaching, one-on-one coaching, masterminds are all available for you. Looking forward to connecting with you real soon. Thank you again for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for You. This is Coach Adams signing off for now, and thank you again to our dynamic in-studio guests. I coach and you win. We look forward to having you engage with us on next week.